Yo, what's up? Welcome to Kind of Funny Games Daily for Wednesday, February 17th, 2021. I'm one of your hosts, Blessing Adeoye Jr. Joining me is twitch.tv/AndyCortez.
Don't do it.
Blessing, let's hear it.
No, we don't need to hear it. You don't need to put that out to the world.
Michelle, we need to get to the payload.
That's the best I can do.
Obama, they know what it is. They know what it is. It helped that he added Michelle.
Andy, give me yours. Give me yours, because we're both bad at this.
We're both awful. But what I'm hoping Corey Cudney does is clip out you getting into it. Because there's a famous, obviously hugely famous GIF of me, bless, that all the fans across the universe are using, where it's me trying to get into Michael Caine mode. And you see me kind of get into the, like, I do my mouth and I kind of get into the Michael Caine impersonation mode. And I would love to see your kind of
transformation.
I would like
Barack
to see
Obama.
The steps 2 through 4 of the Animorphs, kind of like how that looks with you changing into Barack Obama.
Malia,
so bad.
We need to do more for this country.
Malia, Sasha. There it is.
Michelle.
I'm so sorry for everybody who misses Imran, everybody.
Yeah. Andy, you're going to be. So what's the deal, right? Like, you're here on KFGD with me. This is our first time hosting together. It's the first time you've hosted a KFGD in a long minute. What's the sitch? What's going on here?
I told Greg and Tim that I would like to be on Gamescast more. And Greg said, cool. What about Games Daily? And I was like, I don't know. And he was like, sold. You're on. And I was like, all right.
Hell yeah.
So I'm here on Games Daily now.
Welcome. Awesome.
Andy,
it's awesome. Andy,
that
it's awesome
sucks.
To have you.
You let him trap you, man.
You let him trap you. Because Games Daily, out of all the games content we do over here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames and on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, Games Daily is like the gauntlet, right? This is where we're talking about the nitty-gritty shit. We're going to talk about sales numbers. We're going to talk about shady executives doing shady stuff. And all that is just this episode alone, let alone the rest of the year of Games Daily. And so you've stepped into the fire pit. But I do trust you. I do believe in you, because you are the number one games journalist, as they call
you. As long as you're holding my hand, you know, and I'm right there with you. I feel bad for anybody who misses Imran, but I have a lot to bring to the table as well. Things that differentiate me and Imran, he's more informed, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he has a lot of sources. I don't have any of that. So I can't wait to continue on this journey. Yeah,
I'm excited to have you. Andy, let's start off with a little bit of a fun discussion. Of course, later on today, we're going to get the Nintendo Direct. We're going to react to that. So that's going to be a good time. I got a question here from Wit over on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, who wrote in just like you can and says, plain and simple, what do you want to see in the Nintendo Direct tomorrow? Or I guess today. This was written in yesterday.
Right.
And what do you think we'll see? While there are chances for the big things like Zelda or Mario, I'm just really hoping that some of the Nintendo indies... I'm just really hoping for some of the Nintendo indies, Hollow Knight, Silk Song, Sports Story, etc. I'm hoping they get release dates and release windows. Andy, what are you kind of looking forward to for today's Nintendo Direct?
We're not supposed to be super pie in the sky with this stuff, right? Because they explicitly said the first half of the year... Right, I think the announcements
they lie to us, though. You know, it wouldn't be the first time. Remember, there was a few years ago where they had an E3 Direct where they were like, we're just focusing on this year. And then they came out, and I think that's when they did announce Breath of the Wild 2, another crazy shit. So you never know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think of the smaller indies. A Sports Story would be awesome to get a release date on that. I know people are super stoked for Silk Song, and I need to go back and play Hollow Knight before that comes out, so I'm going to ask Nintendo to delay that indefinitely, bless, until I can get back to it. I mean, my mind is just on, like, give me another Link to the Past, Link's Awakening, Oracle of Ages remake in the old Link's, or in the recent Link's Awakening style, because I just want something remade in that style. I don't see any 3D games being remade of Zelda, but I would... love for a 2D game to be remade in that beautiful, just gorgeous, all the tilt shift in bless, all the blurriness in the background. I mean, it's just fantastic.
I do expect that we'll get some big Zelda announcements. It's that tricky thing of, they talk about the first half of the year, which kind of limits it. But it is a big Zelda anniversary this year, which means that, you know, they have a reason to come out and do some stuff. And so, you know, you mentioned we'll probably not get any 3D remakes, and I agree with you 100% there. Though they do have things that they can port, And, you know, like, Nintendo has the trend of porting over Wii U games. And we got the remasters of Twilight Princess and Wind Waker there, and so I wouldn't be surprised to see those ported onto Switch sometime during the year. We got, like, the Ocarina of Majora's Mask remakes that were on 3DS. And, of course, like, 3DS games are kind of harder to bring over, but I think if they could do some form of that, that'd be awesome. And I know at this point, I know I'm already asking for way too much from Nintendo. But if they could do some kind of piecemeal of, hey, here are your favorite Zelda games over the course of the year, I think that'd be awesome. I think it'd be awesome to see that, to see, see what you're talking about with the a Link's Awakening-ish kind of remake. I think that'd be cool. Breath of the Wild 2 details, that'd be cool. Even if it's just a release date. If it's them, like, closing the direct and being like, by the way, one more thing, Breath of the Wild 2 is coming out this fall. I think that'd be really exciting. No More Heroes 3.
Like a release window. Yeah, a release window.
A release window for Breath of the Wild 2, yeah, would be awesome. But yeah, No More Heroes 3 is another one which I would like a release date for, because that's the game that was supposed to come out last year and it got delayed. I'm assuming both because Suda 51, unpredictable, but then also COVID-19, that impacts development, all that stuff. I think that'd be awesome to get a release date for. And then I guess, like, you know, I put it on a tweet this morning, asked people what their last minute predictions are for the Direct. I was surprised by how many people seem to want Mario Golf. And I'm right there with everybody. Mario Golf would be awesome. And I think now's the time. I could see it coming through.
I mean, so it was 2014, 2015 was the last one on 3DS?
On 3DS, yeah.
It's time, Bless. It's, you know, we're closing on near a decade. We don't need Mario Strikers, okay? Sorry, Snowbike Mike. Sorry, the 5 soccer fans out there that are also Nintendo fans. I was going to piss off a lot of people. That's definitely not true. We know a lot of people like soccer. I understand. I just want another golf game, dude. I want another Mario charming sports game that, you know, isn't tennis. Again, Nintendo's lied to us before, Bless. They said online would work, right? And it doesn't work. So, like,
oh God, yeah.
You know, maybe we do get some announcements later on or whatever. But I totally agree. I want Mario Golf so bad.
Yeah, I want Mario Golf, and I am one of those people that wants Strikers badly, but I've given up the Strikers dream. I don't think we're ever going to see Strikers again, at least in a similar form, with all the attitude and with Mario frowning and all that stuff. I don't think Nintendo's about that. I think they've changed since the GameCube era, and I think that means that if we see another Strikers, it'll be like a cleansed, polished version of Strikers that is, hey, we're removing all the things that make Strikers cool and we are just giving you Mario characters playing soccer, which isn't the thing that I want. Like, I'd play it, I'd probably have fun with it.
So you want the edge?
I want the edge from Mario Strikers. Like, for me, that's a big thing that made Strikers cool and fun, was the fact that, you know, you have like fucking Bowser punching out Mario and shit on the field, and it's like, this is awesome.
Mario
is cool.
Pulling like a Maradona, just like super coked up on the field and stuff.
Yeah.
Rest in peace, Diego Maradona.
The cool stuff. And so I don't think we'll get that, but I do think there's a high likelihood we'll get Golf. I'm hoping you get Golf.
Can you
imagine? And I'm hoping they surprise us.
I'm just like already dreading. You know what? I don't even want this. I don't want Mario Golf because I'm going to want to play online. It's social distancing and online's going to be awful. Can you imagine having to be precise, Blessing? Having to be precise, hitting the boosh, 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 having to hit a perfect shot. Oh, no way, dude. No way.
God. Yeah, nobody wants that.
Take it back.
You know what we do want, though? We want video game news. Today's stories include reasons why Stadia laid off its staff, Microsoft making games more accessible, and more, because this is Kind of Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. If you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, or you can listen later on podcast services around the globe by searching for Kinda Funny Games Daily. To be a part of the show, head to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, where bronze members or above get to write in, and silver members or above get the show ad-free with the exclusive daily post-show. Housekeeping for you, that long-awaited Nintendo Direct is going down today, and we're reacting live to it. It's 50 minutes of new Nintendo announcements that you can join me, Andy, Greg, and Tim motherfucking Geddes right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames at 2 p.m. Pacific time to watch it all go down. Then at 5:30 p.m. Pacific time is the FCF draft, once again going down right here on our Twitch channel. You can follow along as I guess we draft players to our team. I've not been following. What's been going on with that, Andy? Do you know?
Dude, we won the last game. It was fucking sick.
Oh my God, it was a good ass game, Bless. Let me tell you. But anyway, so the way the draft works is every Wednesday, we've already franchised a player. Jurdy dude. He's our quarterback. Yesterday, we franchised another player, a running back. So those are the two players that will stay on the Wild Aces in perpetuity, right? They're going to be there forever. Now, every Wednesday, we get together and we draft the other wide receiver and the offensive line and the defensive line, depending on who we want. So these players are always kind of rotating, but all four teams have two players that will stay on the squad, kind of like
okay.
Those are the mainstays. Those are the people that sort of represent the franchise.
Hell yeah. I understood some of those words. If you want to check that out, again, that's going down today, 5:30 p.m. Pacific time.
Perpetuity.
FCF hype. And perpetuity.
Good word. Good ass word.
Yeah. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Graham of Legend, David Mintel, Trent Berry, Blackjack, Louise Aguiar at 8BitLouise, James Davis at James Davis Makes, and the Nanobiologist. Today we're brought to you by Purple Mattress, ExpressVPN, and Logitech, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is, and forever will be, the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We have six stories today.
Baker's
dozen. Starting with our number one, we have more details on what happened over at Stadia. A few weeks ago, we reported about how there were layoffs. It seems like they're shutting down their first party development over there at Google Stadia. Kotaku this morning, or maybe it was yesterday evening, one of those two, they put out a report talking about some scoops that they were able to get, detailing some things that went down. They have an extensive story over there on Kotaku.com. I am boiling down in a way that is still kind of long and still follow with me. But of course, if you want the full story with all the details detailed for you, go over to Kotaku.com, give them a click and all that good stuff. This again is Nathan Grayson and Ethan Gotch at Kotaku. Developers at Google's recently formed game studios were shocked February 1st when they were notified that the studios would be shut down, according to four sources with knowledge of what transpired. Just a week prior, Google Stadia Vice President and General Manager Phil Harrison sent an email to staff lauding the great progress its studios had made so far. Quote, Stadia Games and Entertainment has made great progress building a diverse and talented team and establishing a strong lineup of Stadia exclusive games, Harrison's January 27th email read, according to sources. Quote, we will confirm the SG&E, that is Stadia Games and Entertainment, investment envelope shortly, which will, in turn, inform the SG&E strategy and 2021 objectives and key results, end quote. Mass layoffs were announced a few days later. 5 days later, Harrison appeared to, and this is 5 days later after the email was sent out. 5 days later, Harrison appeared to reverse course completely, announcing in a public blog post that the head of Stadia Games and Entertainment, Jade Raymond, left the company. And Google, quote, would not be investing further in bringing exclusive content from our internal development team at SG&E, end quote. Stadia developers learned the news, first reported by Kotaku, at almost the same time as everyone else via an internal email and conference call with Harrison. Developers had to wait 3 days after receiving the news to directly share their confusion and frustration with Harrison in a second conference call on February 4th. This call was followed by a contentious Q&A where the Stadia boss was confronted about his email from just the week before.
Sounds like a video game.
Yeah, which suggested anything but a wholesale shutdown of the studios. Harrison expressed his regret over the misleading statements made in his previous email, according to four sources with knowledge of the call. When asked what changed from the week prior, Harrison admitted nothing had and told those on the call, "We knew." It's still not clear exactly why Google decided to abandon the first-party studios it started building up less than 2 years earlier. In his blog post, Harrison referenced the rising cost of game development as a factor. Quote, creating best-in-class games from the ground up takes many years and significant investment, and the cost is going up exponentially, he wrote. In his Thursday Q&A with staff, he pointed specifically to Microsoft's buying spree and planned acquisition of Bethesda Software later this year as one of the factors that had made Google decide to close the book on original game development. Google's parent company, Alphabet, is a nearly trillion-dollar company and roughly on par with Microsoft when it comes to revenue and profit, according to a 2020 survey by Forbes. Elsewhere during the Q&A, Harrison seemed to suggest that the ongoing pandemic was partly to blame, according to one source. Again, Kotaku has even more details about things that went down, talking more about the pandemic and other external factors that all factored into Stadia Games and Entertainment shutting down. There's a lot of places we can kind of start with this, Andy, but is there anything that sticks out to you off the bat?
I mean, it's just, it's an obvious bummer. And I think just sort of reading the enthusiasm of the rest of the internet and, you know, people being enthusiastic about Stadia as a whole, it's just, it's not super surprising. It absolutely sucks that these people were blindsided. I wonder where Jade Raymond goes next. I wonder what the future of Stadia is at all. As you know, I don't think we ever saw these first party studios being a thing and existing in, what's the word of the day, Bless?
Perpetuity.
Exactly. I don't think we ever saw this existing. It's similar to when, you know, DC says there's going to be a fucking like a standalone Flash movie or whatever. It's always like, yeah, we'll see about that. When Google started it, you know, announcing all these first party things, I didn't really see them lasting. So this whole closure does not surprise me at all. It just is an absolute bummer for all the devs having to obviously go somewhere else now. Hopefully they get to work remotely with another dev. But yeah, that's just, it absolutely sucks. And I do think the pandemic can be partly to blame for a million different things, not only just game development, but yeah, that's got to be, I don't know, it's just an absolute bummer. It really, really sucks.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much in here that you know, strikes me as ranging from negligible to gross in terms of how they're operating over there at Stadia from the higher up level. Them talking about how you know, the rising cost of game development being a factor. Like, game development has been expensive. Yeah, like, game development has been expensive forever, right? Like, especially within the last generation of consoles and games. Like, that shouldn't have been a thing that blindsided them. For a company like Google, who is, you know, one of the most profitable tech companies around right now. Like, out of anybody, they should be very much aware of, hey, yeah, game development takes money and it also takes time. And so for you to shut down your first party game development 2 years later, which is not enough time to develop a big AAA big budget game to be the premier titles for your service, that again strikes me as negligible. The whole email being sent out a few days before the layoffs happened that was reassuring 150 employees that, hey, things are going awesome. You know, we're excited about the future of this. Let's see where this goes. For Phil Harrison to come out and be like, yeah, we knew. Like, when we're telling you that, yeah, we knew things were not, we knew you guys were going to get laid off. That, again, is very gross. Like, a lot here is just a big bummer in terms of how people are being treated and all that stuff. And so that sucks. The interesting thing here, most interesting tidbit I'll say that I find here is the tidbit linking this to Microsoft acquiring Bethesda, because I assume that's a twofold thing, right? I assume that is a thing that probably led Google to like open their eyes and be like, ooh, so is that the kind of investment we need to make as a company in order to make this thing work? Because if so, we don't want to do that, right? Like, Google, very fickle in terms of how they treat their services and their new ideas. And so for them to see that and go, I don't know about that, I think, you know, that very much characterizes them. And again, is like a, man, you guys should have known this kind of thing. But then also, I wonder how much of that speaks to xCloud and how they see that as competition. I wonder if like seeing Microsoft acquire Bethesda makes them go, yeah, we just can't compete on a first party level with xCloud. And so let's just not.
You wonder what the pivot's going to be, right? When it comes to cloud gaming and whether they just try to be more competitive in that field. I gotta wonder what the conversations were between the studio heads and Google at the time and saying, hey, you all know what this is gonna be, right? It's gonna cost a lot of money. Those conversations had to have been had. Google, like, you know, don't lie to me. You all know how much these games make. You could do your research. You could Google that shit. You are aware the cost of game development. Don't be surprised by it, right? And I think those are all just kind of bullshit excuses, honestly. I think a lot of it just comes down to the waning enthusiasm and just people slowly not giving a shit about Stadia. And also, not only the pandemic affecting these, you know, development costs, but the pandemic kind of showing that, you know, people aren't really traveling. Like, cloud gaming, you know, everybody's at home, you know, so I don't think maybe that was a factor as well. I don't know. It all just, it fucking stinks. It reminds me so much of the way sports treat their athletes, where people are finding out that they are free agents. But, you know, the owner makes a press release and says, yeah, we're not cutting this person. And the next day, the athlete finds out via Twitter that they've been cut. It all just sort of stinks. And I wish the games industry was not like this, but it never ceases to sort of surprise me.
Yeah. And Jeff Grubb in chat makes the point that when Cyberpunk ran best on Stadia and that game still didn't sell on Stadia, I think that's when you pull the plug. And I think that's honestly like a very great point, right? The biggest selling points of Stadia ended up not being as big of selling points as I think Google thought they were going to be. One, because, yeah, like a game like Cyberpunk running best there just didn't do what it needed to do in order to make people go, fuck, yeah, Stadia is the thing. Like, Stadia is the new wave. There's that. And then there's also the fact that, like, so many of the promised features that they had for Stadia just didn't work as promised when we finally got our hands on it. And when that was the case, it was like, okay, well, what is the thing that's going to bring us in? Like, what is the thing that is going to make us go, oh, Stadia is the future? Like, Kevin, you were somebody who jumped into this.
You don't think with Cyberpunk it was more the CD Projekt Red not being like, oh, hey, but just play it on Stadia. Like, I feel like if they had sent out codes on Stadia, now I get... I feel like if you had played
optics
on Stadia,
aren't great there.
Yeah, you're right. But like it wasn't great when they didn't send out codes for any consoles. You know what I mean?
For
yeah.
sure.
Anyways,
yeah, I agree with that. Yeah,
I really feel like that this Stadia has been such a disaster, and it's one of those things that like honestly, what could save it is if they like go and like they're just like, hey, you know what? A bunch of games on here are free, and if you sign up for this, even more games are free, or you know, like the. But like other than that, I think this is.
I mean, it's fucking it's tough because even if you do that, right? Xbox Game Pass still exists with xCloud, and so like that is essentially that at the same time. Like even if they come out and they're like, "Hey, we're making it RAN games," or doing, I think the thing that Stadia probably has to do at this point in order to continue as a thing would be maybe partner with somebody else big, right? Like partner with a Nintendo, and like again, like I don't know if Nintendo would want to do something like that. I don't know. Who is in a position to partner with Stadia in order to give Stadia the boost it needs. Obviously, Google, they're like as a company, Google's fine with or without Stadia. Stadia is very much like a, hey, let's try this thing out. This is an experiment for us, and it didn't work out, just like Google Glass didn't work out, just like Google Plus didn't work out, just like all these other things that we do didn't work out. And we'll just move on because we're Google and we have all the money. But I think that streaming technology is probably for them still very valuable, right? Because we are entering into the streaming future. And so whether or not they call it Stadia in the future for whatever they end up doing with that technology is still going to exist in some form. And so, you know, it's just such a bummer that 150 people are getting laid off because they just didn't read the
negligence.
Tea leaves, right?
Yeah.
Negligence. Yeah.
I think more and more Stadia needs to become a supplemental thing that you, again, like you add on to something else. I don't ever see Stadia becoming the main platform for, you know, even like a 15% minority of players out there. I just don't see that. I don't see people jumping ship and leaving their consoles and going to Stadia unless they start including some sort of really, really good cross progression or cross save, or, you know, that's cross platform sort of play, that sort of thing. I know it's available on some things. I know that you can, for example, how I've been telling Greg, I'll play The Division with you. If they eventually bring crossplay to PC for consoles and stuff, you could do crossplay on The Division. It's just only from PC to Stadia. It's like, well, I can play with the four players over there, I guess, you know. And so when the Cyberpunk thing happened, and I tweet out, you know, Cyberpunk's running like this for me, and I'm having to change stuff when I'm streaming and stuff, the amount of replies I got about Stadia that were so passionate from people saying, Andy, it's really, really good on Stadia. I just don't, you know, for me to try to make that jump, it's like I have a 3080 graphic GPU. Like I could tweak things and be totally fine. Maybe not stream it, because my issue was trying to stream the game is what kind of was bottlenecking me and adding performance issues. I just don't see people. I don't see a big amount of people switching to Stadia unless it becomes an additional service tied in with some other service. And it's definitely not going to be Xbox. Maybe PlayStation takes a leap and buys into Google. I don't know.
Well, Andy, let's talk about Xbox. Story number two, Microsoft started a new program to help make more accessible games. This is from Kate Sanchez over at The Verge. Microsoft is expanding its accessibility efforts with a new program for evaluating Xbox and PC games. Today, its gaming accessibility team announced that developers can send their games to be evaluated for accessibility and tested by players with disabilities. The program was announced alongside updates to the Xbox accessibility guidelines that were released in early 2020. Quote, developers now have the option to send Microsoft their Xbox or PC title and have it analyzed and validated against the recommendations provided in the XAGs, end quote, says an Xbox blog post published today. The Xbox accessibility guidelines include thorough explanations of inclusive design considerations for developers, and they are now updated to include clearer language, additional context, and implementation examples. Game test reports will include feedback from players with disabilities, as well as links to information on inclusive design, relevant nonprofits, and accessibility experts. Any issues found during testing will be noted with reproduction steps, screenshots, and other information to help the developer understand what aspect of a given experience may be challenging for certain gamers with disabilities, says the post. Very exciting stuff. That's really cool.
Great job, Xbox. I mean, it's just another win for Microsoft, right? It's another win to show that, yes, we are putting a lot of priority on this. Everybody go try this out. It's got to be... I wonder how many smaller devs will take advantage of it from a, you know, I guess priority aspect, right? At where do you put the priority on accessibility when you are trying to just get the bugs out of your games also and you're trying to make the game functional, period? I don't know. It's exciting. It's exciting that it's out there, and it's exciting that this is another resource for smaller devs who may not even know where to go for this, right? You know, you talk about when you're in game development and, you know, going through CERT is its own whole process and it's all a whole nightmare, right? And this is obviously accessibility is becoming more and more important, and I'm glad that it's becoming more spotlighted in the game development community. And this is just great that devs can kind of have an easy path to sort of figure this out and not feel so... I think not feeling overwhelmed in the game development process is super important, because this is, it's another process that feels like the busy work, you know, the scary sort of, when you're talking about financial reports and talking to Steam and talking to Microsoft and understanding certification. I think this is just another nice little way for Microsoft to help out small devs. So shout out to Microsoft. That's really, really cool.
Yeah, no, this is super cool. The fact that it's happening on the first party level too, I think is the biggest thing, right? And you highlight it well that for small developers, this is going to be huge, because game development is time consuming, it is expensive, and if you have, say, a 5-person team working on a game, right, accessibility is becoming more and more of a thing that people are realizing needs to be taken into account. And if you don't have the resources, or you don't have the like a right person on your team in order to you know, have focus on accessibility and know what needs to be done in certain aspects, then it's like, okay, well, how do we make this happen? So for the fact that Microsoft is doing this, I think is awesome. And also, when we talk about accessibility, we're also talking about a wide variety of things, right? And so, like, having just one person on a team or having a couple people on a team that are focused on that may not be enough, right? When we're talking about people who might have disabilities that range from stuff, you know, impairing your vision or stuff impairing your hearing, or, you know, the way you hold a controller might not, you know, might be difficult given some circumstances. Being able to be like, hey, Microsoft, help us out with this, because we don't know where to start, and then being able to give feedback and all that stuff is going to be super huge.
It's definitely the fear of not knowing where to start. Like, I can't imagine a 4-person team where it's an artist, a lead designer, a lead programmer, and maybe another like designer or whatever, and one of them being tasked with, all right, work on accessibility. It's like, where's the consultation? Where do I even go for that? So this is just such an easy win, an easy go-to resource for that. Shout out to Microsoft. That's really neat.
Well, we got more stuff to shout out Microsoft for. Story number 3, some Xbox backwards compatible games are running even smoother now. I am pulling directly from the Xbox website, Xbox Wire, where they detail FPS boosting. As we detailed in October, with the increased CPU, GPU, and memory from our new consoles, all of your existing games look and play better. With certain titles, we can make the experience even better, all with no work required by the developer and no update needed by the gamer. To that end, the backward compatibility team has developed FPS Boost, which employs a variety of new methods for nearly doubling, and in a few instances, quadrupling the original frame rate on select titles. Higher, steadier frame rates make games visually smoother, resulting in more immersive gameplay. We partnered closely with developers to enhance the experience while maintaining the game's original intent. And while not applicable to all games, these new techniques can push game engines to render more quickly for a buttery smooth experience beyond what the original game might have delivered due to the capabilities of the hardware at the time. We're excited to announce the first assortment of backward compatible titles that will support FPS Boost. Available beginning today are Far Cry 4, New Super Lucky's Tale, Sniper Elite 4, UFC 4, and Watch Dogs 2. We chose this initial collection of titles not only because they are popular among fans, but to highlight several different ways that FPS Boost can improve your experience. For example, New Super Lucky's Tale can now run up to 120 frames per second, and UFC 4 delivers improved frame rate performance specifically on Xbox Series S and can now run at 60 FPS. This is just the beginning. We will announce and release more titles featuring FPS Boost soon as we roll out new menu icons and system settings in an upcoming system update. Andy, what are your thoughts on this?
A weird group of games, but I mean,
it is a weird group of games. They try to. I like how they try to justify it, though. Yeah. They're like, we chose this group of titles not only because people play them, but you know, they showcase different ways, which is cool. They tried. I appreciate it.
It's kind of shocking to me that that UFC 4 didn't run at 60 already. I would have never guessed that. I would have always assumed that that game ran at 60, even on Series X, and maybe got that boost. But I mean, good on Microsoft. This is great for a lot of older games, obviously. I'm interested to hear what the performance increases will be on more, I guess, popular, ubiquitous titles. A lot of people want that boost on, you know, certain Call of Duty games. I know that some Call of Duty games might be getting that 120 frames boost. It's, again, a weird group of games. I don't really know why that they went for that group specifically, but
there has to be something in terms of, like, these are games that have been sitting around for a while. Because I look at the list, and it's the list that's available today, right? Far Cry 4, which is, why didn't you just do Far Cry 5 in that case, right? Like, that's kind of weird. New Super Lucky's Tale, I assume that's because I think that came out originally on Xbox. And also, like, yeah, kid, like, maybe that's the family-friendly title they can go for. Sniper Elite 4, which is, like, again, like, all right, I don't know why specifically you would go that title. Again, maybe there's something technically that is appealing about that maybe like Xbox saw and they're like, okay, let's do that because that is going to put us to the test or something like that. Maybe, who knows? And then yeah, UFC 4 and Watch Dogs 2, very random smattering of games. And maybe with UFC 4 and Watch Dogs 2, that's a thing of, all right, let's partner with EA and Ubisoft because these are the big publishers and like, let's get them involved because yeah, Far Cry 4 being another game on here, it's like, Ubisoft and EA are big publishers for us. They're going to be putting out many games. And so the earlier we can work with them on getting that stuff done, the more that opens us up to getting more of their legacy titles FPS boosted.
You think they have the same selection sort of process that Nintendo has whenever they're picking what games to put on Nintendo Online for free or just like random shit?
Yeah. They're like, let's roll like a dice.
I don't want to focus too much on the group of games. I do want to just shout out the fact that Microsoft is even doing this. I know that when the PS4 Pro came out and they had that boost mode, a lot of times it would also hinder the experience. And sometimes it would break a game and the game wouldn't be really ready for it. It had that warning, you know, games prior to this date, be careful with running this boost mode on or after this date or whatever. I mean, this is great. I hope that this continues and I hope that they don't give up on this process quickly. I would like to see a lot more titles, a lot more, you know, a lot more important, bigger titles, right? Not to say that these games aren't important, but it is kind of a weirder group. But yeah, if this is the first crop, I'm excited to see what the next crop is, and then we'll see sort of those dominoes fall and keep on going. So,
cool. Well, Andy, Kendrick Luckenbeck writes in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, just like you can, and says, hey, KFGD, Xbox announced today that backwards compatible titles are getting an FPS boost mode. What game would you guys want to see get a boost up to 120 FPS? I'd love to see Skate 3 and others get that boost. Thanks, and let's get hyped for that Nintendo Direct. Kendrick, Again, we are already hyped for that Nintendo Direct. I don't think I can get more hype for the Nintendo Direct. In terms of what games I would like to see boosted up to 120 FPS, firstly, I don't even think I have a monitor that can run 120 FPS, and so I don't know how much that affects me.
Oh, but
I do love, like, I've recently become an evangelist for performance mode in games. PS5 put me on. As soon as I got my hands on Miles Morales and switched to performance mode, I was like, oh, I am a new man. I am way more into high frame rate than I thought I was before. I want to play every game like this. I want every game to have this and look like this. And like my answer always, and this isn't necessarily to your question, but whenever it does come up of what game do I want to play in 60 FPS or some kind of boosted smooth frame rate mode, it's always going to be Bloodborne. But to answer your question, because you're talking about FPS boost and Xbox specifically, I'd have to sit and think, you know, what games I think would be worth going back to play this way.
Fast motion games.
What immediately comes to mind for me would be Rare Replay, just because I'm a big Rare fan, and I think it could be fun to try out Perfect Dark in 120 FPS, or the Banjo-Kazooie games, or Conker, and Jet Force Gemini, and all that stuff. You know, that seems really cool if I could get that, you know, super up-resed and high FPS. But Andy, are there any particular games for you that come to mind?
I'm thinking sports titles, anything with fast movement that's, you know, required and looks really, really good. I'm thinking any of the Maddens or the 2K games. But you got to go with the fastest of them all, and that's Sonic Forces on Xbox.
Oh, my God.
Absolutely.
Honestly, though, like, you joke, but Sonic Generations. Sonic Generations at 120 FPS.
Why did I fucking say anything?
I want it so bad. But yeah, no, this is an awesome thing. Like I'm really excited for the performance mode future and the work that Xbox continues to do with backwards compatibility and making those games play best on Xbox and play better and better. It's super exciting. And I think it's a thing that, you know, you asked the question of, you know, I hope they commit to it, right? Like, I kind of trust that they're going to, given their track record with this stuff already, because they care a weird amount, about legacy and backwards compatibility in a way that I personally appreciate, because they're really speaking to me with that stuff. But I'm like, is it on a pure business, like, marketing level, I'm like, is it worth doing all this? Like, Xbox, why? But, you know, I'm not going to question it because I love it. I wasn't doing it.
Were you just asking your Kinect a question right there?
Xbox why?
Why? I would say I'm thinking of something you just played recently, Sekiro, or anything.
Oh my God.
Anything with insanely fast moving that needs to be super precise. Now, that does also kind of screw up gameplay in terms of what the parry and timing windows would be. I know that that takes a little bit more work than just flipping a switch and saying, all right, super fast frame mode, let's upgrade this shit. It would take a little bit more than that to just kind of make the game functional out of the box or whatever, or out of the download screen. But yeah, this is really awesome. I mean, shout out. And everybody, if you have not experienced 120 frames, there's so many people that whenever I do talk about high frame rates and high refresh rate, so many people are like, you can't even see the difference. Yes, you can, dude.
Oh,
you absolutely can. I know for a fact now, I think that there's issues with servers whenever sometimes I'll turn off my monitor and it'll revert back to 60. And I know when it's in 60, when I turn it back on and I'm in a game, like, the fan just feels laggy as hell. It's not only just the frame rate, it's also the response rate. The response time feels a lot higher. And you turn back on that 144 or whatever, and it's so incredible. It's something that you, again, explaining high frame rates to somebody is like explaining VR to somebody. You won't know unless you try. Yeah.
And I was about to transition into the next stories, but somebody in chat mentioned Split Second, and that actually reminded me, because there are a couple games that I play all the time on Xbox for no reason other than, you know, I love being in the game, right? You can't leave rap alone. The game needs me, and that's how I feel about
sure.
these games, right?
Okay.
Burnout Revenge, give me that in 120 FPS, and then Mirror's Edge also. Give me those two games. Those are the two games I keep going back and playing on the Xbox. And the more they do to those games to improve them, the more I'll accept it. Because
Mirror's Edge is a very good call. That's a very good call.
Oh, give me more Mirror's Edge. I got a few quick hits of news stories here for you, Andy. But before I get there, I want to tell you about our sponsor. Of course, you can go to Patreon.com/KindaFunnyGames, where you can get the show ad-free. And speaking of ads, this episode of Kind of Funny Games Daily is brought to you by Purple Mattress. Throw some bedding on a bunch of different mattresses, and sure, they all look alike. The same goes for pillows. But peel away the layers, look at what's inside, and you'll see they aren't all created equal. And that's what makes every purple pillow and mattress unlike anything you've ever slept on. The Purple Grid sets the purple mattress apart from every other mattress. It's a patented comfort technology that instantly adapts to your body's natural shape and sleep style. With over 1,800 open air channels designed to neutralize body heat, purple provides a cooling effect other mattresses can't replicate. And this cutting-edge technology doesn't stop with the mattresses. Every purple pillow is engineered with the grid for total head and neck support and absolute airflow. So you're always on the cool side of the pillow. Purple's proprietary technology has been innovating comfort for over 15 years. Kind of Funny loves Purple Mattress. Joey Noel herself has been sleeping on Purple Mattress, and she says that she sleeps like a baby. Goo Goo Gaga. That's what she'd be saying when she's sleeping on that purple mattress. You can try every purple product risk-free with free shippings and returns. And purple has financing available as low as 0% APR for qualified customers. Experience the purple grid and you'll sleep like never before. You'll be saying Goo Goo Gaga. Go to purple.com/games10 and use promo code games10 for a limited time. You'll get 10% off any order of $200 or more. That's purple.com/games10, promo code games10 for 10% off any order of $200 or more. Terms apply. You be gooing gaga like Joey Noel be doing when she's sleeping on that purple mattress. That's their slogan. I promise. They have it written
down
right here.
You'll be gooing gagaing.
You'll be googling and gagaing. We're also brought to you by ExpressVPN. You know what's not fair? The fact that Netflix hides thousands of shows from you based on your location and then has the nerve to increase their prices on you. See, you might not know that what's on Netflix in your country is completely different from what's on someone else's Netflix in the UK or Japan and all those other countries. Using ExpressVPN, I can control which country I want Netflix to think I'm in. ExpressVPN has over 90 countries to choose from. So every time you run out of stuff to watch, you can just switch to another country to unlock new shows. Right now, I could be watching my new favorite anime, but maybe it's not on the US Netflix. But with one tap of a button, ExpressVPN lets me change my location to whatever country I want so I can watch it. And here's the best part. It's not just for Netflix. You can use ExpressVPN to unlock shows on other streaming services too. Use it for BBC iPlayer. It's free and only available in the UK. ExpressVPN is also super fast and works on your phone, laptop, and even smart TVs so you can watch your shows on the big screen with zero buffering. So be smart, stop paying full price for streaming services and only getting access to a fraction of the content. Get your money's worth at expressvpn.com/games. Don't forget to use my link so you can get 3 extra months free at expressvpn.com/games. expressvpn.com/games to learn more. Lastly, we're brought to you by Logitech. Logitech G Pro X Superlight gaming mouse is designed with the world's leading pros to engineer the world's best competitive gaming mouse with hyper minimal redesign. Pro X Superlight is the lightest and fastest pro mouse ever, weighing in at under 63 grams, almost 25% lighter than standard pro wireless mouse. Logitech G exclusive Hero 25K sensor provides unrivaled precision, speed, and consistency. Pro X Superlight delivers extreme accuracy and ultra-fine control for complete confidence, especially during the intense split-second moments of tournament play. Andy, you be clicking heads all the time. How important is a good mouse?
It's incredibly important. I have the Pro X, the non-Superlight, because I haven't gotten the Superlight yet. And I'll tell you what, you know, I'm feeling the extra grams on this bad boy, right? Give me the extra light version of this mouse, and I'll be even more dominant on the battlefield.
There you go. Powered by Lightspeed, Pro X Superlight is their fastest and most reliable pro mouse yet, and it's available in black and white. For a limited time, Logitech G is offering our listeners express shipping at logitechg.com. Use code KINDAFUNNYDAILY free ship 215 for express shipping today. That's express shipping for all Logitech G products with promo code KINDAFUNNYDAILY free ship 215. It's all one code, KINDAFUNNYDAILY free ship 215. Hurry now, since after this promotion the promo code expires in 3 days. All right, Andy,
was that all for the sponsors?
No, that was all for the ads.
Red Dead Redemption 2. Put that in a higher frame rate on Series X. Because it's still locked at 30. I hadn't realized it was still locked at 30. Because that game was phenomenal when I played it on my Xbox One. It was 4K, but it, you know, it ran at 30 and, you know, drop frames every once in a while. So I would like to see that at a more consistent 60 frames upgrade. Bless, before we go into the next story, I do want to sort of mention to the audience that you've told me in confidence, right, and in secret, your desires to switch over to play Overwatch on keyboard and mouse. And
this, see, I didn't want to, Andy, you know, I host the PlayStation podcast.
You didn't want people to find out this way.
I didn't want people to find out, period. You know, I wanted to play Overwatch in secret on PC.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, you know, Nick Scarpino plays Call of Duty on keyboard and mouse on his PS5. Not that you'd be able to play with us on Overwatch. But
yeah,
you know, I do want you to know that you are accepted, Bless, in the PC keyboard mouse community. You can do this. I believe in you. Blessing is very, very scared, chat. He's very scared, YouTube commenters.
Because people are so good.
You know what I mean? You're so good at
people are so good on PC. That's the thing that makes me fear is, you know, I understand the limits of playing with a controller. You know,
yeah, sure.
I understand that I don't get that free range of movement that
we're
I get with a mouse
limited
keyboard.
That way, you know what I mean? On this,
like, if you look at me,
look at Andy's motion right now.
Look at these fucking, look at these flicks. Like, I'm flicking.
You know, he can't. No way.
Like, I'm only the only reason.
How is that legal?
It's crazy.
He's moving so fast, and I can only tell that he's moving because of my monitor. I have a really good monitor.
Yeah,
but like, if I was looking at him on a standard monitor, it looked like he was moving. He wasn't moving.
Like, even podcast listeners can't tell how fast I'm moving.
I said, Kevin, I mentioned I didn't have a 120 FPS monitor.
he has a really, really good monitor.
I have a good one, though, you know?
Dorito in chat says he's moving. What I want you to understand, Bless, is just to not be scared. Again, I didn't start clicking heads on keyboard mouse until March of last year when the quarantine started. Just like Greg Miller always says, your first isn't always going to be your best, all right? But you get there, and you get there, and then now I'm, what, top 5% in the world right now of just first-person shooters? So, like, I'm not saying you're going to be as insane as I am whenever I'm on the battlefield, but just,
for sure.
You know, you can get there, Bless. You can get there. Let's move the payload.
It's just, like, I imagine Widowmaker is way more of a problem on PC, you know?
No, not in our ranks, Bless. Not in our ranks. Okay. No, because we're still really, really low down there, big dog. Like, you can hop on a character, and then you can... You know, as long as I get your shit tuned down, as long as I get your DPI and your sensitivity tuned down, you'll be totally fine. I got you, dude. I want to walk you through this.
Let's do it. Mm-hmm. I got a few quick hits of new stories here for you guys. Let's start with story number 4. It Takes Two has gone gold, and Joseph Ferris wants to give you money. I'm going to pull from two different sources. The first source I'm going to pull from is Joseph Ferris himself on Twitter. He tweeted out, "We finally did it. Hashtag It Takes Two has gone gold." The other source I want to pull from real quick is Alex Calvin at VG247, who writes about Joseph Ferris wanting to give you money. He writes, "Game director Joseph Ferris has said that he'll give you $1,000 if you become tired of the upcoming It Takes Two. The developer made this rather bold claim during an interview with Game Informer, saying that it is very hard to become bored of the forthcoming release. Quote, that's another thing I can guarantee with you about It Takes Two. It's impossible, and quote me on this, to get tired of this game, Ferris said. You can put this as the headline, quote, I can literally give you $1,000 or I can literally give $1,000 to anyone who says, oh, I'm tired of this game now because it doesn't surprise me. $1,000, I guarantee I'll give it to anyone who gets tired, but they have to be honest about it, end quote.
They have to be honest about it. I will send you a lie detector. We will gauge your boredom levels, and if you lie about it, I punch you in the fucking face, okay? I will beat your ass if you're lying to me about being bored of this game. I love this guy.
I love him too.
He makes headlines. He is one of the few, I think, still in this industry that can kind of, you know, garner enthusiasm for his video games in a way that isn't insanely toxic or in a bad way. Like, he's not this awful person.
Unless you're the Oscars.
Oh, of course, unless you're the Oscars, of course. But, I mean, I think just the idea that this guy can just open his mouth and say something and make a headline and then make people go, oh, you know what, that game looked interesting whenever it was revealed. Maybe I'll check it out maybe I want to check it out even more now, you know?
Yeah.
Good for him.
I like this guy. Joseph Ferris is such an interesting one to me because, like, there are so many... if Joseph Ferris was like another developer, like I feel like I would hate him. I don't know. Like if Joseph Ferris is a different dude, I feel like I'd be like, okay, this guy's obnoxious. Get him out of here. But he's so like charismatic and then very like passionate about his own work that I'm just like, you know what, man? Keep doing your thing because you put out strong 7 to 8, but you're so happy and proud of your work that you know what, man, go get them. You know, do your thing.
It's the confidence. Yeah, it's that passion. And also, you know, I think the fact that so much of what we've heard about him is positive and passion, positivity and passion, you know, until somebody comes out and says, oh, dude, he's an awful boss. Like, this guy sucks.
Yeah.
We're going to love him until then. So I hope he still remains a, you know, as passionate as and as positive as he is right now, because it gets me hyped up. I want to try out his games.
Yeah. And Robert Blanc in chat says his games are 7.5, but he lives on 10. And you know what? I can dig that.
I like
Way Out. Like I played A Way Out and I was like, all right, you know, like I like this game's I had a really fun time with A Way Out, but it wasn't like a fucking like masterpiece or anything. But I was still like, you know what, man, I'm glad this exists because this is a really fun game that's really unique and I hope we get more of this. And we're about to get more of it with It Takes Two. Get hype.
I like Two Brothers. I didn't play A Way Out.
I gotta play Brothers. Brothers apparently is amazing.
Or just Brothers.
Brothers, A Tale of Two Sons.
Brothers, A Tale of Two Sons. I always just think of the Rick and Morty bit, Two Brothers. Like I just think of that. I don't know why.
It's a very good bit. another quick hit for you. Story number 5. You can adopt a pet now in No Man's Sky. I'm going to pull real quick from Jordan Olliman at IGN. No Man's Sky has received another update titled Companions, which lets players adopt and breed alien companions. The Companions update launches today and will let players tame, breed, train, and even speak to the creatures they encounter. Explorers can adopt creatures as sidekicks for their interstellar adventures, and the tame beast can be trained to, quote, scan for resources, mark out hazards, provide light, hunt dangerous fauna, find settlements, excavate, bury treasure, or even mine for materials with their own shoulder-mounted mining lasers, end quote. Beyond the addition of Companions, the update will also bring significant improvements to load and warp times for PS4 players. Hello Games says this is the start of the game's 5th anniversary festivities, but they have a lot planned for the rest of 2021. And again, go get them, Hello Games. I can't believe it's been 5 years since the launch of that game. It feels like that whole debacle happened just yesterday, like just last year maybe. And so, yeah, to see that glow up is awesome. And to see them get to the point where they're like, cool, let's put out the quirky expansions now. You know, let's let people have companions and pets and stuff and breed them. It's good to see it. It's good to see them get here.
Yeah, I feel like they're hitting all the notes of what these sort of games, what make these games sort of charming and fun. And I think adding little companions and cute things to kind of run around with you and take cool photos and share them on Twitter. This is No Man's Sky is the game that I need to make a list of all the games that I would play if I had time. And No Man's Sky would be number one on the list because I've been wanting to go back. I played the shit out of it at launch, even though it launched, you know, obviously without a lot of features. And I still enjoyed it back then. And I know that I would love it now. It's just, God, it's such a commitment to go back to that world and to learn these new systems. And whether you want to do it alone or with friends, you know, I feel like it could be such a fun time. I thought I was going to hop into Minecraft. We started these Minecraft streams lately, or recently rather, several weeks ago.
It.
I
like,
thought
what
that
the hell, man, you know
we
mean?
Just
I
dropped
we
it.
Ken.
Wait, oh, so you guys aren't doing that anymore? I mean, I didn't get involved because I immediately was like, this is not for me. But I assumed that was going well.
Because
I've
wanted those types of games to be a game that I can go back to and sort of be this persistent living thing. And I've always wanted to be into Minecraft. I've just never known how to get started. And I've always been really intimidated. And I didn't want to play alone. And playing with friends was so much fun. And, you know, I don't know. Maybe I try out this Valheim game next.
I was
going
to say, what if we get into Valheim? We were talking about that a little bit a few days ago.
I really, really want to, but, like, I have no one to do it with. And, like, I tried to get Blessing to do Monday. And Blessing was
if
like,
we
oh,
do
sorry,
it on stream.
I'm playing Uno on Monday.
First of all, it was Clue. It was Clue. And
I'm
did
sorry,
play it. And
but
it
you
a
also
really
love
time.
Uno. You also love Uno, Uno, right?
No, I don't. Uno. I don't like Uno that much.
Oh, dude,
I think
it's
Uno's
awesome.
Fine.
Oh, dude, try out Uno.
People,
it's great.
People change the rules every time I play Uno, and I'm at the point where I just break. I'm like, no,
that's
I can't
why
do
you
anymore.
Have to carry
your
wallet
make
the
a
rules for Uno at all time.
Yeah.
I just can't, you, like, I need a game that I can, I can strat it. I don't have an Uno rule book. That's my thing. Is like if the rules stayed consistent between everybody I played Uno with, then I'd be into it because then I can like think up strategies and like really try. Uno, I just can't try anymore because every time I play Uno with different people, the rules change and it's like we can't keep doing this, y'all.
I think it's a regional thing, Bless. I think like whenever I go to, you know, whenever I go to basketball courts and try to play 21, everybody's got different rules, right?
What's the one rule that sucks?
Free throws, you take three pointers. Jesus, it's just ridiculous.
I get emotional with this Uno.
Draw four.
Aren't there people that are like, oh, you have to say that you're going to have Uno in the next turn? Mm-hmm. It's like, what? No. You say Uno when you have Uno.
You say Uno as soon as you have one card, right?
Yeah. But like,
and if somebody says it before you, you have to like draw.
There was a trend online where people, that might be it.
You figure it out?
Don't follow the trends, Kevin.
If we do a Valheim stream, I'm in.
But here's the thing. Yeah, but we can't just go and do a Valheim stream because like we need to stop doing that where we play a game for the first time on stream and it's just us being like, What?
No. I think that's totally fine, Kevin. I think it's fine if we hop onto a stream not knowing what's happening, it's learning, because I think they'll give us a benefit of the doubt because Valheim is still so new. I don't think we have to.
I think the audience will learn with us. I think the nice thing is that not everybody in the audience knows how to play Valheim or these new games, and so when we're figuring it out, they're also figuring it out.
All right, the chat's totally agreeing with you. All right, fuck me, I guess. All right,
yeah,
tomorrow.
Kevin, I think it's
Valheim.
I'm playing Clue. Doing Clue tomorrow.
Are you fucking me in the same way right now? You literally.
Yeah, I am. He has no regard for you, Kevin. This guy just doesn't give a shit.
It's such a fun game, you know? Clue, deduction, putting your brain to the text or to the test. Mm-hmm. You know? Who did it? Mm-hmm. Where'd they do it? With what weapon? It's Clue. It's really fun.
Mr. Mayonnaise in the kitchen with a jar of mayonnaise.
Mr. Boom. Mayonnaise in the kitchen with a jar of mayonnaise.
Clue honestly is like,
God, the imagination Andy has.
No, Andy
Mr.
Into, like,
Mustard. Colonel Mustard?
Mr. Mustard is his name.
It's Colonel Mustard.
In the
it's
kitchen.
It's Colonel Mustard.
With a tub of
with a jar of mustard.
I can't believe I'm into Clue as much as I am. Like, legit, I play. So, like, in the game of Clue, I played on Monday where I abandoned Kevin playing Valheim or whatever. Legit, like, it came down to the wire where everybody in that Clue game was heartbroken when the match ended and somebody had won because we're all like, damn. We had like we came to our conclusions and we were all so confident in what we had and we were heartbroken. Each and every time somebody would guess and get it wrong, we'd be like, what happened? What went wrong? That's the kind of game Clue is. It is heart-wrenching. It is emotional. And I can't wait to play tomorrow on stream. Number six, we're getting a Dota anime. This comes from Dota 2 on Twitter. They tweeted this morning. We're excited to announce a brand new anime series exploring the Dota universe like never before. As fellow fans of Dota and its passionate global community, we look forward to sharing this new adventure with you when it premieres on Netflix March 25th. So if you're a Dota fan or an anime fan, boom, get hype. I guess. I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, maybe this is something that gets me to care about the lore, but like, MOBAs will just never do it for me. MOBAs will just never do it for me. I will never see the appeal. It's going to be the old man yells at a cloud thing with me until the end of time with MOBAs. Whenever there's a trend that I don't understand, I will always feel that same way about MOBAs where I'm like, why are there 194,000 people watching this tournament. I don't get it. And I understand that it's, you know, when I'm watching an esports tournament, whether it's Valorant or Overwatch, I love watching those big headshots, those huge moments where, you know, a person's back down and it's 1v3 and it's headshot, and the crowd gets fucking hyped and the chat's popping off.
Wild.
Yeah, it's MOBAs for me that they don't have those moments for me, but it's a lot of it is because I don't fully understand the game. And the game is so much more chess than it is like hitting a three-pointer in basketball. Like, it's so much more of a heady game. You are constantly making millions of calculations in your head about movement and where to go and where to be. And I just, that shit is just not exciting to me. And I will never understand why it's so exciting to people.
I mean, I just accept that I'm just not on the level. You know, like, it's that thing of, I tried playing, I think it was League of Legends once back in the day with friends that played League of Legends. And immediately I was just like, yeah, no, I don't, This is not for me. Like, I am, like, immediately as soon as I started the match, people were getting mad at me because I wasn't doing the things right. And, like,
right.
You know, it's that thing of trying it and trying to, like, kind of understand what the thing is. So at least I'm aware of it. It feels like such a different world that I totally respect because, like, they've built up a fan base for a reason. Even looking under the tweet for the anime, people are hyped about this. And I'm like, oh, that's awesome. Like, good for y'all because you guys are living your best life over there.
Yeah, but, yeah, for
sure. I'm with you that I'm like, I don't, it's not for me.
It's one of those things whenever I do see the trending section on Twitch and I'm looking at, you know, Counter-Strike has another big tournament going on or there's, you know, so many hundreds of thousands of concurrent viewers. I understand that with Counter-Strike, even though it's an old ass game. I understand it because the excitement of the headshots are and the precision and that sort of expertise it takes to be really good at that game. But I'll never understand.
Yeah.
I'll never understand MOBAs and why they're so popular. You're just clicking the ground. You're just clicking the ground. Tell the little monito to go over here. Little monito, right, Kevin? The little monito.
I don't think you're allowed to say that anymore.
Really?
No. I'm
monito
kidding.
Like a toy.
A little monkey. It's a little monkey is what it means.
Monito. Oh, really? For us, it's always been a little toy. Little monito.
No, but that does make me. You seen that TikTok where people are like, oh, if I'm a monkey, and they keep. Waving the hand, and the monkey gets bigger.
No.
It gets bigger and bigger and bigger.
No. I've been seeing a lot of TikToks that are like Jimmy Woo TikToks. Have you been seeing these? Where people are just finding Jimmy Woo or Randall Park in pretty much every single thing he's been casted in. Basically, everybody's in love with Jimmy Woo from Marvel MCU.
He's great. Yeah,
he deserves it. Jimmy Woo is amazing. But basically, there's a trend on TikTok of people being like, oh man, I'm watching the Office for the jokes or whatever, and then they're like psych, and then it's Randall Park appearing in the Office, and that's like the whole thing. They've been doing that for a bunch of different stuff. Apparently, Randall Park is in everything, but I digress. Awesome. The day that me and Andy get into MOBAs might never come, but if it does, it's probably just so far away. Andy, if I wanted to come out to Mom and Grop shops today, where would I look?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform, as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday.
And do 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 yeah
yeah
yeah. Out today we got 30XX on PC, Shores Unknown for PC, Wolf Team Classic for PC, Nebuchadnezzar for PC, Void Gore for PS4, Xbox One, and Switch, Shattered Tale of the Forgotten for PC, Kick It Bunny for Xbox One and PC, Speed Limit for PC, and then Super Red Hot Hero for Steam. Then we got a write-in from Madog Nick 96 from Massachusetts over on Patreon.com. It's kind of funny games, just like you can. It says, hi, Blessing Andy. I don't really have a question. I just wanted to make sure you guys have a game on your out today list. SNK versus Capcom Match of the Millennium releases for Switch today. I'm a big fan of SNK games, and I noticed like a week ago you didn't mention King of Fighters 2002 Unlimited Match came to PS4. I tried to write into You're Wrong, but the new games were read toward the end of the show, so Greg didn't catch it. I'm not fully blaming you guys either, because I've noticed it with some previous SNK games. It might be an issue on their end with getting their press releases out.
Please blame us. We deserve it.
I mean, Greg deserves it. Yeah. Anyway, thanks for reading this, and happy belated birthday, Andy. Direct later today. Madog Nick 96. Thank you again, Madog Nick 96, for that. We do have a few new dates for you. Fights in Tight Spaces enters early access on February 24th. And then Adorable Cactus Puzzler Room to Grow is launching for PC and
looks
Mac
really good.
February
looks
25th.
Really good. Wait,
which
that's
one?
From yesterday, though. Room to Grow. Greg had it on
his
list.
Is it? I got the email. Like,
it doesn't matter. Honestly,
oh, that's
fun.
So funny. I thought the whole name of the game was Adorable Cactus Puzzler Room to Grow. I thought Room to Grow was like the subtitle of the whole game.
And then we also have a deal today for you. This is from Wario64. Dreams is $9.99 on the U.S. Store for PlayStation Plus members. And so if you have $9.99, you can pick up Dreams right now on PS Plus. And I highly recommend it. Dreams, underplayed. You should play it. It's amazing. $10 is a really good price for it. Go check it out. Of course, folks can go over to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames to get their questions and squad ups read on the show. I am entering into squad up with one from Donald Eccles, who writes in and says, hey, KFGD crew, I know this isn't your typical kind of squad up, but this week is definitely not a typical week for me and my crew. Tomorrow, JPL/NASA is landing a rover on Mars, 12:55 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and I'd be honored for the best friends to join us. The real party starts around 11:15 a.m. tomorrow. Over 5 years of development, 7 months of cruising, almost 300 million miles through space, many sleepless nights, and it all rests on 7 minutes that can literally make or break the mission. If you have a minute, stop on by, wish us luck if we haven't landed, or celebrate with us if we have. Again, Donald Eccles. It'd be great if it was Donald Glover. Donald Eccles left a long YouTube link that it's hard to kind of boil down. I'm sure that'll be in the description, though, for those watching on YouTube or listening on podcast services. But if you want to know where you can get it, if you're just listening, you can go to @SirSonic on Twitter. That's Donald's Twitter account, @SirSonic, spelled SirSonik on Twitter if you want to learn more. I'm sure Donald Eccles will be tweeting about it there.
Man, we have really important people doing stuff in our community.
Yeah, no, that's really awesome.
Also, that final paragraph that Donald Eccles wrote could be the plot summary of a movie that I would go watch. Like 7 months of cruising a month, 300 miles through space. It all rests on 7 minutes that can literally break or make the mission.
Make or break
that's
the mission.
So cool, dude. That's the coolest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Of course, you can go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong to write in and let us know what we got wrong as we got it wrong so we can correct it later for those watching on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and listening later on podcast services around the globe. Ignacio Rojas writes in and says, Nintendo has confirmed that they're going to change their multiplayer system, probably making their online better for future games. And that's not a you're wrong, it's just clarification or additional information. So thank you for that, Ignacio. And then we have one more from Ignacio saying, one of the reasons as to why Microsoft chose this specific group of titles to up their frame rates could be because these games share certain behind-the-scenes conditions. You can't simply up the frame rate of any games without risking unintended consequences. Which
sounds like
speculation.
Sounds like speculation.
This is editorializing, and I hear you, Ignacio Rojas, but that's also like Microsoft has a lot of first-party games that they have access to. I'm sure some of those, they probably could have figured that out also. Like, this is a peculiar group of games, no matter how you cut it. But I'm sure there's a reason.
If they were all on Unreal 3 or something like that, I would be more sort of convinced or something like that. You know what I mean?
Tomorrow's hosts for Kinda Funny Games Daily are Greg and Tim, so get hyped for that. If you're watching live on Twitch right now, after this is Mike and Greg playing some Division 2 and doing some football talk to get ready for tonight's FCF draft. Of course, this has been Kinda Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday live right here on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. We have a Patreon post show for those that are subbed at the silver level of patreon.com/kindafunnygames, so stick around for that. Otherwise, until next time, Game Daily.